think next Sunday is the last Sunday of June, right? Okay, so I think I should close out this year. So I'm not going to share now. Good luck. Yeah. It will be, next Sunday will be, as it were, the last service in this season that we've gone through for the past year. That's it. Last chance to get with Jesus. Well, actually, today is the last chance because I'm ending it next week. No more Jesus first. Amen. I'm going to be just sharing from some notes that the Lord had given me during the conference last year in November. I didn't share all of this because he told me not to. So some of you know the thing that we threw up here that was a portion of what I shared. But this is the final part, and I'll just be doing some reading because for the most part it's just from my notes. So if you will, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Gospel of John, chapter 12. And let's just start at verse 3. And we'll read 3 through 8. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, not that he cared actually for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bore what was put in it. Then said Jesus, let her alone, for the day of my burial hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Excuse me. Now I want to go to Matthew chapter 26. And it's basically just, Matthew 26 is just a Matthew's version of this same story. Yeah, I tried to clear out my throat, but it didn't work this morning. Pardon? Oh, my God. I don't know. I never thought of that.
It burns.
No. Oh, good. This is all being recorded, isn't it? And then we have a woman bringing me this. I wonder what this is. I think I like the holy water better. All right, Matthew 26. And let's start at verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Okay, so this event that we read about, and we'll read it about here too, of the woman from Bethany, Mary of Bethany, this anointing happened 2 days before Jesus' death, but nobody knew about it, but she seemed to, and we'll read that. And then let's see, verse 2 again. You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Now, the betrayal started before this because we read it in John. In that account, it focuses on Judas, and that Judas was against this whole situation here and looked down on it. And then right after this is where the betrayal began, until they came to the Garden of Gethsemane and took Jesus away to be crucified. Verse 3 here. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people into the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus subtly and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now, verse 6. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples, so this account is showing that the disciples were all in agreement with Judas on their negative reaction to what's going on here. And when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? And they're calling this, event of this woman who is pouring out on Jesus from her heart, they're calling it a waste, and in doing, they're calling what is in her heart a waste, because they don't see the value of it. They don't see the value. Verse 9, for this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And so their view of ministry is not Jesus to minister to him. Their view of ministry is that we take care of the poor and we take care of the needy and we take care of the lost and everything. And yet Jesus is going to respond here. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Verse 10, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. Jesus received it, and apparently didn't just receive the work, but what she wrought on him from her heart. The thing that touched Jesus the most, and usually is something that comes from the heart. It's not about what we do. There, you know, two shall be grinding, one shall be taken. Anybody ever heard that scripture before? If it was about what you do, they'd both be taken. Two are walking down a road, one shall be taken. If it was about what we do, they both would have been taken. But it's about the heart condition. And so verse 10, when Jesus understood it, he saith unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. And so Jesus sees this, what this woman is doing is coming from a place in her that recognizes in 2 days he's going to be dead and buried. Nobody else, the disciples never got it. You know the Bible. Jesus telling them, I'm going to be crucified and da-da-da-da. We got to go to Jerusalem. And they're all, they never got it. They never really understood it. But she understands, apparently she understands more than that, because the way that she's doing this is she's honoring this sacrifice. She's honoring this selfless one. She's honoring the true nature and spirit of Jesus, and not just Jesus dying for our sins, because there's no mention of salvation here. Nobody even knows that part of it. But she knows there's something of him that is going to, he's going to give himself for others. And that's who he is. That's his spirit. That's his nature. Verse 13, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole earth, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. And so we talked about the difference between memorial ministry and compassionate ministry, two different kinds of ministry. One kind over here, compassionate ministry, let's minister to the poor, let's minister to the needy, let's minister to the sick, let's minister to the lost, let's minister just about every kind of ministry that you can name in the that the church does, compassionate ministry. But Jesus is memorializing this ministry, which is not going to the poor or the sick or the demon-possessed or the lost or any of that stuff. It is going to her. Now, I will tell you, if you're really interested in this, there's in the Old Testament, there are two different kinds of priesthood. One is the Zadok priesthood that ministered to the Lord. And the other one was that ministered in the things of God. Two different kinds. And that was going on at the same time. Yeah, it's a big deal. And so memorial ministry is that which pours out to the Lord. Now, it's also interesting that when David became king and he set up the Ark of the Covenant in Zion, that he was the guy who instituted praise and worship. But we call it praise and worship, and we charismatize it. I know that's a word, because I just made it up. We charismatize. We make it charismatic in nature when we think about it. But David's heart, and you know David's heart, and God said it, I have appointed David because he's a man after my heart, not just after the things that I want, but after his heart. Different, completely different from everyone who'd gone before him. Completely different than Saul that had gone before him. And David set up that ministry to be before the Lord constantly, that he would get hearts loving and honoring him. It's memorial ministry. They never ministered in the things of God. And when he set it up, it was in Zion, folks. There, you say, yeah, they were in the temple, and it says that. They were in the temple. They were in the tabernacle worshiping and da-da-da. The only tabernacle at that time left was the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. They're in there with the real him, the real, as it were, Jesus. And taking from David's heart and pouring it on the Lord. And it was, they had courses. They switched off. It was, you know, so that it would be given to the Lord 24 hours a day. Well, that's not charismatic. That is heart ministry to the Lord. That's what David meant. If we change it, if we pervert it or whatever, you know, because anybody can just stand, oh, well, thank you, Jesus, you know. But this is what these guys did. And it wasn't just thank you, Jesus. It was to release something that David told them, this is what we're going to set up here, and this is going to be eternal because it's going to go on and on and on. That was his deal. And when David died, it kept going, and the next group kept going, and next they kept it going. Memorial ministry is when maybe what is precious is not just used for the ministry, but is poured out on the Lord. And some people will see that as waste. You're just wasting your time. It's just a waste to do that. Verse 14, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Apparently, if they had have given that money to the poor, Judas might not have got upset and went and betrayed him. Because this is our kind of ministry. This is what we do. We minister the poor. We minister the needs. And of course, I'm not against that. I'm just saying there's a difference of ministry. There's a difference of ministry. And it's easy to understand giving to the poor. It's not as easy to comprehend. I mean, I'm bitching somebody standing there watching the courses change with David's people going into the Holy of Holies and just pouring out on the Lord. And they're going, you know, we're wasting all these good singers and people and da-da-da. This is, you know, nobody can hear them. There's just a piece of wood in there covered with gold called the Ark of the Covenant. No, you know, these men could be used for the greater ministry of the body. Jesus never asked for it. David came up with that idea. Jesus never asked for it. Mary of Bethany came up with that idea. But when it was done, he said to compassionate ministry, he said, let her alone, or let these people alone that David has sent to do this thing. I didn't ask for it, but if they're going to do it from the heart, then I'm going to expose myself a little bit to you and tell you, this is a memorial to me. I set up a memorial in my heart. Yes, it'll go everywhere the gospel goes. You know, they fed the multitudes. They did all kind of things the disciples did and stuff. And all of that isn't considered a memorial. It was an event. But this was a memorial. And everywhere for all time, this is supposed to be told so that people can know the Lord's heart. So that people can know the Lord's heart. That, because we wouldn't get it otherwise. If it never happened, we'd go, it's only about ministering to the needs of a wretched world, a lost and dying world. But by this, we get Jesus speaking out from a place he didn't feel free to speak to us before. And he said, this is going to be a memorial in my heart. I'm taking this into my burial with me. I won't forget this. I won't forget this. All right. So, you don't have to turn there, but you remember in John, when we read it, it said, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, I'm just going to read from the notes that I had that I was going to share at the conference. Forget the fact that the perfume filled the room. I mean, from that point on, it fills everywhere the true gospel goes, and even fills the throne room with its fragrance. But Jesus was always the true fragrance. To her, I'm going to say it like this, to her, she already smelled Jesus, and it brought her into a dangerous situation where she's willing to look bad, but maybe she doesn't know what's going to happen in 2 days, but she knows that this is a self-giving being, and she just wants to honor it, honor him, honor his way, honor his heart, and let him know, I see you. I really think I know what you're really about. And it's not just all the great things that people are following you around in multitudes trying to get healed or delivered or whatever. You do that. Yes, you do that. But I don't want to just honor what you do. I want a moment, if I might have it, to honor the heart from which this all comes. If I may. Well, no, you may not, because the disciples didn't like it. No, you can't. But she did, anyway. And she did it from the heart. In doing that, she, you know, we make such a big deal out of the ointment. Oh, the alabaster box. Oh, alabaster box. Such a holy box. Oh, or the ointment that filled the room. It wasn't any different than any other spikenard. It wasn't particularly, you know, you go, yeah, but it filled the whole room. To her, his fragrance and beauty filled her whole heart and being, and it moved her. It motivated her. It moved her more to Jesus. You know, let me just say this. Isn't it possible that we could all get real busy for Jesus and really not be spend much time with Jesus at all? Anybody agree with that? Let me see hands if you agree with that. Let me see hands if you really hate me even saying that. It is true, isn't it? It is true, and we've all done it. We've all done it. You get so busy for the Lord that you've lost that. And, you know, well, I'm doing it for Jesus. You know, he ought to appreciate it. You know? Amen. But Jesus is to her, he has filled her heart with a fragrance, and it's not about what she did, it's about who he is, and that's what she's trying to acknowledge. That would be like me saying, you know, that would be like Jesus standing right here, and I'm going, it's about Jesus. Jesus is the whole thing. He's what it's really all about. He's everything. And the whole time you're sitting there looking at me, you know, going, and somebody says, wow, that Randy, he's a good pointer. Yeah. You know, he can really point. You know? I mean, that's like somebody wanting to go to Disney World, and you see a sign, and it says Disney World, and it's got an arrow pointing right over there. And then you get out and you go, you grab the signpost. Oh, what a gorgeous sign. What a wonderful sign. You know? Well, that's all any of us. We're just supposed to be pointing to Jesus, right? It's not about us. We're just signposts. Jesus, Jesus. But somehow, people in the ministry look at other people who point to Jesus and they go, what a great signpost that is. That's better than a lot of signposts, you know? It doesn't matter if it's got flowers on it and all kind of stuff with scroll work on it saying, Jesus, this way. And you get down the road and there's just a wooden sign that's worn and everything else. And it's saying Jesus with an arrow pointing that way. It's all pointing to Jesus. But we get our eyes off of Jesus because our hearts are not set the way they should. And that's not condemnation. That's let's keep going. Amen? Let's keep going. And then in verse 8 of Matthew 26, it says this. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? So here's my little note on that. How disappointed was she that this kind of ministry was called waste by others? And especially others who were the most prominent disciples of Jesus. And I wrote, probably not at all, seeing what Jesus' response was towards her. She probably wasn't disappointed at their response. She was probably focused on him. You know, she wasn't, you know, imagine, I'm here to honor you. I'm here to love you. I'm here to release something eternal so that you can go into death carrying the fact that we get it about what you're really like. And somebody says, well, look at that woman. And she goes, what are you talking about? I'm doing something for Jesus. You don't get it, do you? You know, can you imagine? I mean, they didn't get it. Can you imagine her going, you don't get it, do you? You know? I'm a God. Well, that would have been an ugly odor. Amen? That would have been an ugly odor. I think she heard it. I think there was but I think that she just checked with Jesus. I think she looked at his face, and if he was okay with it, she was okay. Right? And then verse 12. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. So I wrote, he would not merely be refreshed at that moment by her act, but would take it down into his burial with him. Though no one else knew, Jesus was aware of the great darkness that was shortly to come involving the Romans and the chief priests and God's people who would condemn him to death as a heretic. Wow! This is what he's going to face in 2 days. The world, it's going to get dark while he's hung on the cross. Because the world is dark. The world is dark. And Jesus is getting one little drop of refreshment. Because only one person seems to really realize what's about to happen. And she's honoring that. She's honoring his self-giving. Right into the death. And he says, let her alone. This is for me. This is for me. This is mine. This is mine. And then verse 8 again. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Worse still would be the fact that these very disciples would run and hide. In other words, in 2 days, they're going to come to kill him. One of them was one that he chose to be with him and close. I chose you to be close to me. And that person chose not to be, but actually chose to be far from him. Because, we all make our choices, amen? And we'll all stand before God for those choices. But worse still would be the fact that these very disciples would run and hide. And as soon as this thing happened, they're the opposite of Jesus in self-giving. They're self-protecting. If Jesus is going down, I ain't going down with him. They knew nothing of where Jesus was at during this time spiritually, where he was at, what he was going through, that he knew. Can you imagine? Okay, let's just put it like this. What if somebody told you that in 2 days, you were going to be dead? For sure, you're going to die in 2 days. And you're hanging out with everybody, and they don't know it. How would everything appear to you? How would that appear? The people be acting the regular way that they are. No thought of it. No. And you kind of look at everything and go, this is kind of weird. The things that we put importance on, well, how much more Jesus, who's looking at it and going, this is just clueless is all I'm getting. But then this woman comes in. And then, let's see, I'm going to read this part again. Worse still would be the fact that these very disciples would run and hide. They knew nothing of where Jesus was during all this. The only thing that Peter would send down with Jesus into his burial was the fact that he denied him 3 times just before his crucifixion. Take this into your death. Take that. Well, we know Peter made it. You know, see, that's our thinking. Well, Peter did make it. Praise God, Peter made it later. But that doesn't take in any consideration of Jesus' heart at the moment where Peter should have been with Jesus. Amen? Especially the guy who just said, I will die for you. Of course, Jesus knew better, but I mean, you know. Our consideration is us, and that's why we get upset with this woman, and that's why we get upset with all this, and that's why we get happy when we go, but Peter made it. Oh, it's all about making it, and if Peter made it, I'll probably make it. So it doesn't matter what I do or how I violate, and I'm just saying, I'm not pointing anybody out here, okay? It doesn't matter. You know, I mean, it really doesn't. This is me, as well as anyone else. We're not thinking about his heart. We don't know what memorial ministry is. And so, all we want to know is a prophetic word. Does Peter make it? Just give me a prophecy. Just give me a word from the Lord. Yes, he makes it. Then I can, there's a good chance I'll make it. So it doesn't matter how bad we abuse the Lord. I'm sorry, but it's not about condemnation. I'm not trying to condemn. I really want us more and more and more to be more mindful of him in all of this instead of us, and him being mindful always of us. Is that y'all okay with me doing that? That's all I'm shooting for. That's all I'm shooting for. That the Holy Spirit could open our hearts more to his heart, like David's heart was. That's all. And then verse 10, still in Matthew, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman, for she hath wrought a good work on me. So I wrote down, look at Jesus' response to these disciples. It says, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them. What a strange phrase is used just prior to Jesus standing up for her. It says, when Jesus understood it, it is as if he were so caught up and reveling in the actions and heart of this woman that to comprehend the angle that they were coming from took a few moments of adjustment. When Jesus understood it, how foreign at times must be our interjections, our words, our things that we say to him when we think we're adding something so important and spiritual. I mean, I wrote that, so maybe it's not true. But how weird that it says when Jesus understood it. How dumb are you, Jesus? He's not dumb. He's other. It's a big difference. He's just different. He's other. And he's seeing this situation with this woman as eternal and memorial for all time. And they're going, well, she should have given us that money and we could have blessed some more people. Our ministry could have gotten bigger. And when Jesus, he had to adjust and go, what? Oh, okay. All right. Okay, now I get where you're coming from. It's hard for me to go there. but that's right. That's how you think. I forgot. That's how you think. And we don't let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. And let's read verse 12 now. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she hath done it for my burial. So again, here's this. There is a contrast here of ministry. Some understand that the application of Christ crucified on our part involves stepping down from a higher place in order to minister to the least in this case, the more poor members of the body. But this woman ministered to his body also. What is the difference? Unlike her, We minister to members of Jesus' body, having a mentality that by ministering to his body and others, this will minister to him. In other words, we really see it as separate. I mean, we really do. We see it as separate. Here's Jesus, and here's a couple of members, two members of his body. And so we go, I'm going to minister. Here's you some food. Let me pray for your sicknesses. Let me do this. And it's like Jesus is way up there or something, and I'm going to minister to members of his body. There's not a whole lot of thought about ministering to Jesus. It's just doing something that'll make him happy. I'm ministering to you. That's different than what she did. What is the difference? Unlike her, we minister to members of Jesus' body, having a mentality that by ministering to his body and others, this will minister to him. But her approach was just the opposite. Her first priority was him, which resulted in ministry to his body. She's looking at him, but she's pouring out the ointment on his body. How do you explain that to the 12 disciples up against the wall, listen, watching this whole thing? You go, no, we need to take this and go find some people and do. See? And she's ministering to his body, but she's not. She's ministering to him. But it ministers to his body also. And that to her, it's not separate. You're actually ministering to him, but we always see the vessels. See, for better or for worse, we see the vessels. Well, I'm not going to minister to her, but I'll minister to her. You know. Well, is it Jesus' body? By the way, I really did. These are my actual notes from November. It'll be a year and 5 months. 5 months, it'll be 1 year since I was prepared to share this. So it's actually 4 months because I got it before that. Her first priority was him, which resulted in ministry to his body. In one scenario, our focus is upon the ministry toward others. But in the other, our focus is upon him only. But can we see him there? No, we don't, because we're too busy looking at them. Even if we call them his body, we see them. How many minister to Jesus in them? We say, this is for you. I love you. I love you. I am for you. And you're hugging his body, but you're not. You're hugging him. I am with you, Jesus. I love you. And you're pouring out, and the body's going, you're drowning me here. Because there's so much love. There's so much self-giving here. You know? How powerful is that? How powerful is the difference, is the contrast? It's incredible. It's incredible. Because now it's only about Jesus in your heart. But you're still doing stuff to the body. I know somebody's thinking, now after next Sunday, that's it. We don't have to do this stuff anymore. Thank God this will be over with. We can get back to ministering to goats. Not really. I don't know where that came from. But we, you know, it is a concept of we can get back to this ministry instead of this Jesus. We can stay with the Jesus and still minister to his body. But you're going to have to start ministering to him. You're going to have to start seeing him. You're going to have to start thinking about him. You're going to have to do it for him. You're going to have to bless his heart. You can't do it to his body. Not and have memorial ministry. No, I didn't have memorial. I didn't say it wasn't good ministry over here, compassionate ministry, but don't call it memorial ministry because it's not. In one scenario, our focus is upon the ministry towards others, but in the other, our focus upon him only. The end result is that he might say, it is a good work you have wrought upon me. He wouldn't say, thanks for taking care of my body down there. See the difference? Down there. Thanks for taking care of my body down there. No, he'll say, you've wrought a good work on me. which includes my body. Okay. All right. It's halftime. Y'all want to take a break? Or? All right. I want to read Matthew 26, verse 7 through 15 again. But I want to highlight some things, and I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I'm going to ask you, when I emphasize something, or I'm emphasizing this so that you can get it. I want you to remember it, because we're going to go to a place in the Old Testament, and we're going to find the same scenario going on here with the woman, the Mary of Bethany, the woman with the alabaster box. So I'm going to read the New Testament so that you can catch it when I read the Old Testament. Okay? Yeah. Everybody with me what we're going to do? All right. See, and then on my iPad, it's in red, so I know what to emphasize. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it upon his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples, there's the first emphasis, saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? What purpose is waste? What purpose? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work, a good work. For ye have the poor always with you, but me you have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily, verily, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, what this woman hath done, will be told for, and here it is, a memorial. Remember, memorial. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him and unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. All right, turn with me to, and this was also in my notes in November, that the Lord said, don't share this yet. Okay. This is in Nehemiah chapter 2. Turn there with me. Nehemiah chapter 2. And we're only going to look at verse 17 through 20. Nehemiah 2, verse 17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproached. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Gershom the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us, and said, what is this thing? What is this waste? What is this thing? What is this memorial ministry that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Meaning, we're called to compassionate ministry, and you're just wasting your time. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise, and we will pour out, we will build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. All right. Some of you know, and we're in some of my classes, and I can't even remember which ones they are, but we spent a while going over the fact that Jerusalem that was destroyed represented Christ himself, that the people of God had sinned. This is in the Old Testament, and this is before they were carried away captive to Babylon. That the people had sinned, and Jerusalem, God built Jerusalem, God gave Jerusalem, God loved Jerusalem. If I forget Jerusalem, may my hand forget its cunning. I mean, God loved Jerusalem because he loves Jesus, and it represented that. So they sinned and sinned and sinned and did horrible. So God sends Nebuchadnezzar down, but instead of wiping them out, they're carried away captive, and Jerusalem is burned, and they pull down the walls, and they burn the stones, and they do all of this stuff to Jerusalem, which represents Christ dying for us. We should have died instead of being in captivity, and then him coming back, and the deliverance from that captivity is happening here in Nehemiah and Ezra. So Jerusalem here had been given, had been burned, had been pulled down, had been basically, as it were, the cross for these people who have now returned now, and they're back. And they're there. We're here for God, right? We're here for God. Not everybody returned. But this in Nehemiah was the remnant that came back. In verse 17, then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste. This is almost like a picture of Jesus after the cross, and yet we continue to have him pour out on us. It's like Jesus is doing compassionate ministry for us. You know, anybody, can you just kind of see that? It's really like he's continually doing compassionate ministry for us. But Nehemiah has something incredible in his heart. He wants to pour out on the Lord. He wants to rebuild Jerusalem. He wants to take the burnt stones and clean them off and put them where they belong. And it's like let's honor Jesus. Let's pour out ourselves on the Jesus that gave himself for us. We're still alive. He died so we wouldn't be destroyed. So we see, it's like that woman, we see your heart. We see what you did. We see what you've gone through for us, and we're so selfish, and we were wrong, and the worst sin wasn't the sins that we did that were rank sins that got us into captivity. The sins was we always were the object instead of you. And I want my heart. This is Nehemiah. I want my heart. I want those who came with me. This is what I want. I want us to pour out on him now and take care of him. You see the distress. Nehemiah is saying, you see the distress of the Lord, what he's gone through for us. Let's pour out and let's build up. Let's do this thing for him. Verse 18 said, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, and the people said that were there with Nehemiah, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Remember what Jesus said of the woman? You have wrought a good work. The Bible, thousands of years before, knows this is the same thing, and this is a good work. We do compassionate ministry, and we go, well, that was a good work. And I'm not knocking that, but that's the way we think. You know, I did a good work for the Lord. But Jesus' definition of a good work is memorial ministry, one that pours out what you have for him instead of him pouring out what he's got for you all the time. Amen? So I wrote, they said, let us build. God's hand, Nehemiah is saying, God's hand is upon me. And it's like his hand is not on his head like we always picture, but on his heart. God's hand is on his heart. And God's hand is on me to pour back to the Lord. I think we should do this. You know, I think we should do this in the way that it would honor him, that he would want, beyond what all we've done. And then verse 19, it says, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Doesn't that sound like the disciples, the way they're treating Mary of Bethany? They're laughing to scorn what is memorial ministry, what is of God, what is most pleasing to his heart. And they're saying, you know, hey, we've been living here because Sanballat and Tobiah, they've been living there a long time. Hey, this is our land. We're part of you. Remember they even said stuff like, well, let us help you build. Anybody remember that with Ezra and all that, you know, all that, the whole deal? Hey, we'll help you. Thank God for leaders that can see. Because they say, we don't want your slimy little hands in memorial ministry. Well, we've been here. We've kept the place. We're important. We're not saying you're not important there. You're just important to Satan. Not really. I'm just... but, you know, strike that from the record. So I wrote, they mocked us and despised us, and they called this waste. They called it this thing. Waste. This thing. What is this thing that you're doing? That's the problem. How do you explain this to anybody? Why shouldn't everybody mock us and despise us and say, "What? You know, I'm glad this year's over." You know, why shouldn't they? Why shouldn't they look at Nehemiah or this woman or anybody that tries, you know, David putting these people in there or raising up the Zadok priesthood or, you know, we don't need two priesthoods. We don't need these. What we need to do is utilize all of this for the ministry. No, what we need to do is learn the difference between two people and calling that his body and him and seeing him right there and loving and ministering to him and pouring out on his body, because we're doing it to Jesus because we love Jesus and because we know that's his body, that's him. Amen? I hope that's getting across. That's different. It's different. It's hard because it's memorial ministry. You're going to get mocked. If nothing else, by stuff in your head, say, well, they're idiots, those two people. Well, maybe they are, but they're his body. And that's the deal. And how do you explain that? How do you explain any of this? Well, you don't. So, but you can release the seeds of it. And the Holy Spirit can open our hearts to see the heart of the Lord, that can see what Nehemiah saw and say, this place is in distress. He went through this 2,000 years ago, and we're just now showing up and going, you know what? Shame on us. Shame on us for never seeing through to that. And they could have showed up and said, "Whoa, well, we messed up, but thank God, like Peter, we made it. We're back." But they didn't. Nehemiah wouldn't allow that. He's going, no, this isn't about us. It's not about what we do. It's not about others. It's not about us for others. It's about him. And we're going to make it about him. That's what we're going to do. We're going to make it about him. These guys and the people that followed them, they mocked them. They despised them. They called it waste, this thing. And then verse 20, and this will be the last verse we deal with. Then answered I them, this is the bad guys that are mocking and laughing to scorn and despising. Then answered I them, said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants, not his great ministers, we his servants will arise and build him, build up, as it were, the Lord. So on that part, I just wrote, well, it goes on to say, but you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Memorial ministry. Jesus said of that woman, Mary Bethany, what you have done here will be a sweet savor that will go everywhere the gospel goes, not just now, but for all time, not just here, but for all places. Anyone who captures this story and realizes it, it will be like a sweet fragrance that rises up and fills the room to them. And they will see the contrast of what they were compared to what they are now. And Nehemiah said to those guys, Sanballat and Tobiah, Gershom, you have no portion. The Lord's not your portion. The ministry is your portion. You have no right. You have no right here. This is holy ground. You never take your shoes off here. This is holy ground. Nor memorial in Jerusalem, in building up Jerusalem. Because you don't understand that. You've lived here all this time and you never even thought to rebuild Jerusalem. You just said, oh God, way up there, send down whatever we need. So I just wrote, we will pour out. We will do like this woman. We will pour out on Jerusalem, on the Lord, on Jesus. But you have no memorial here. No, nothing that you really care about that you're going, I'm not giving up. I'm not sacrificing. I'm just trying to show how incredibly beautiful and the fragrance that you have and the richness that you are to my soul. So I break this just to let you know how much I think of you. See, it's not like, well, you wouldn't believe what I gave to Jesus. Not the right spirit. It's an odor. Sanballat and Tobiah, they let Jerusalem pour out. They let the Lord pour out. But they will not pour out for him in his distress. And then Nehemiah's final words, we will pour out, we will build, we will arise, and we're going to take on this kind of ministry. We will pour out on him. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. It's funny what we call prosperity today. It doesn't mean he's going to give you a bunch of money. Amen. It's going to bless him to the deepest depth of his being because you saw Jerusalem in distress and you didn't think of yourself. You thought of the Lord. And Mary's looking at him and she's going, I know you're going to die. I know you're going to give yourself. I know what you're like. I heard it when I sat at your feet when Martha was cooking. I heard you pouring into me and I got it. And I sense you and I know you now in this way. I don't know anything else. I don't know all that, but I know that you are self-giving being that's about to give itself to the nth degree. I've seen your heart, and I'm here to memorialize your heart, not this event. That's all she never thought about memorializing the event. She wanted to build a memorial. the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, we're going to arise and we're going to build. Amen. Well, why don't we just stand together and we'll just close in a word of prayer. Father, we know your Holy Spirit is here, and he never gives up wooing us to the heart of Jesus. He never gives up trying to point us and our heart, not just us, but our hearts to your heart, to Jesus' heart. You are a faithful witness, and you're faithful in that you just won't stop. And we don't want you to stop. We want you to ever make Jesus bigger than us instead of us making ourselves bigger than Jesus. We want to learn from you, Holy Spirit, what memorial ministry means to Jesus, because only you, like in the book of Esther, representing that servant, only you know the king's heart. And I don't claim to know it, but I claim that you know it, and you've breathed things that are turning me and making me desire to release things instead of gain things. To release things that will bless your heart, Jesus. Thank you for David, who had a heart after you. We even know where that came from. We know secretly, Lamb of God, you're the root of David. You say, it says so in the book of Revelation. You're the roots from where even that heart came from. We believe that those priests, the sons of Zadok, how they prioritize their ministry to your heart. How they made it their portion, their life's ministry, the thing that was most important. Thank you for the worshipers and the courses that you set up, David. Thank you, man of God, directed of the Holy Spirit, of course, but making sure that there was always that ministry going on in the Holy of Holies. May you break ground in us like that, Holy Spirit. May you break ground in us to that degree. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, why don't you hug a few people and see if you can hug Jesus right through them.